Beverly Hills. You found For Love and Chocolate with Mr. and Mrs. Truffles.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back, everybody.
Can it be that we are on episode 6 already?
I know. It's crazy how time flies.
It does fly.
It really does, Mrs. Truffles.
It's been so much fun, though.
Oh.
You know what I'm really loving?
Tell me.
The engagement stories.
They're so fun. They're so different.
Each one of them is so different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Without the show, we'd never know. We would never know.
Unless a psychic told us.
Okay, you want to go there, huh?
Well, you know, I don't really partake in soothsaying.
Subscribe to the psychic network?
It just makes me uncomfortable.
Okay, that's fair.
But you've been known to partake.
Oh, I will seek these seekers out. I love a good psychic. I do. And I've had some pretty crazy experiences, I will say.
Just recently, something that was long ago foretold.
Yeah, something trying to think. It was actually it was my son's friend's bar mitzvah, and they had a psychic. So that was 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. And I met with the psychic. She went deep with some things that were crazy. Like, she came up with the names of my dad's cousins. I mean, how random is that? That was insane.
Super insane.
Yeah, and
it's the kind of stuff that makes me uncomfortable.
I can see you're squirming in your chair. But she did she kind of did a general reading, and then she started going, "Do you want to know about the future?" I was like, "Only if it's good." She said, "Well, I don't predict the future. I just tell it." And I was like, okay, let's go. I mean, we're here, right? You know, lemon drop, please. Bring more lemon drop. I just needed to soothe myself. It was kind of crazy. Like, her head started to snap back and her eye was twittering. fluttering. And she's, because I guess she was getting the vision, right? And she's like, "I don't know what this means, but I see you 15 years in the future, and you're going to be in a field of flowers surrounded by chocolate bunnies." So I called security. I said,
"Uncanny, honestly." Well, she said, "A field of flowers
surrounded by chocolate bunnies." I was like, "Oh God!" Because I had heard about these psychics. It's like, I mean, could you be any weirder? That's such a weird thing to say, and yet it's crazy. We now have a shop in Beverly Hills
full of flowers.
Well, it's Easter coming up.
Surrounded by chocolate bunnies.
And I hadn't even thought about it. But it's like, okay, it's just too weird to even, I can't even fathom. How am I going to entertain this? But she was spot on. She was spot on in a field surrounded by chocolate bunnies.
Were there any other details?
About
the field of flowers and chocolate bunnies?
Yes, the bunnies were white, dark, and milk chocolate.
Okay. Very, very...
Very specific.
Specific,
yeah.
And uncanny.
Yeah, uncanny is right. You know what else she said?
What else did she say?
She said, "I don't know what this means, but in about 15 years, you're going to want to say, mailbag."
Well, Mr. Truffles, let's take a look at what's in the mailbag today.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Okay, well, we have something here from someone calling herself Sophie.
Oh, let's hear it, Sophie.
Okay. "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Truffles, my fiancé and I have been engaged now for about 8 months, and although he promises me there's nothing to worry about, he does still text and has interactions on social media with some of the girls that he's dated or has been intimate with. This makes me really uncomfortable. What should I do?"
May I?
By all means.
Well, I remember when we first started seeing each other, you were adamant about me continuing strong relationships with my ex-girlfriends.
I thought it was important for you to do so.
You wanted to do a dinner party and have them all over together. No, listen, you are a bright, loving, mature woman, and you made it very clear early on, yeah, we're going to maybe not have so much intermingling with exes. I feel like maybe, Sophie, you need to maybe be very clear that that's certainly not something that you're comfortable with and willing to deal with. If there's something there, if you want to continue with this relationship. You've already said how uncomfortable it makes you. I think it's important to let him know that and see what his reaction is. If his feeling is, oh, well, you know what, it's just platonic and you know, you're the one for me, but, you know, they were a part of my life and we have a little shorthand that we like to kind of engage in. You know, I don't really want to give it up. It's time to 86 our little friend with the multiple ex-girlfriends.
Well, I would say you're pretty spot on with that, Mr. Truffles.
Yeah.
I mean, the important part is that it makes her uncomfortable.
Right.
So if he, I mean, this is kind of a great test of, is he really going to love you forever? Is he really going to put you first? Do your feelings mean a lot to him?
Yeah.
The mere fact that it makes her really uncomfortable should be enough for him to stop. As you said, she needs to make her feelings clear about this. He's not a mind reader.
Yeah, and you know, she certainly doesn't want to babysit him. So even like the mere suggestion of, okay, well, if there's really nothing there, let me see the texts. It's like that already starts down the road of not trusting each other.
Well, here's the thing. In my experience,
yes,
if you give a man too much rope, he will more often than not hang himself with it. A tight leash is really the key to a happy relationship.
Yes, well, Sophie, we hope that was helpful.
I hope that was helpful, Sophie, and I hope things work out for you guys. Good luck, sweetie.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Truffles, well, what else do we have in our mailbag today?
Let's take a look, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Cece from Culver City.
Okay.
Cece writes, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Truffles, I really enjoy your show, and I'm hoping you can help me. Last year, one of my good friends broke up with her boyfriend, and recently he started asking me out. I think he's really cute and really fun. I'd like to go out with him, but I'm not sure if I should accept. Any advice on how to handle this would be greatly appreciated. And I'm going to let you take that, Mrs. Truffles."
Well, as the female perspective,
yes,
in this situation, I have to say that that's just a hard no, Cece. You can't go out with your good friend's ex-boyfriend, Cece. You just can't do that. That is completely against the rules of feminism.
Yes, it's against the rules of feminism,
sweetie. Truly is.
Yeah. I'm going to just zip it because I feel like my perspective from the man's point of view probably...
Well, no one's asking you to zip it. You can weigh in, but I think that I probably understand better the workings of a woman's mind?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I could give my perspective of what the guy is thinking, right?
Right. Well, yeah, you can. And but the thing is, there's a lot of details about this we don't know, like why they broke up.
Right.
Or has he been asking out her other friends?
You just don't know.
We don't. Right? There's a lot we don't know. But what we do know is that going out with your good friend's ex-boyfriend from last year,
yeah,
you can't do it.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting perspective. And obviously the woman's side, I think for guys, because we're wired a certain way, we just cast that line out, you know, and we hope to catch something. And we're not really thinking about how the inner workings of the female relationships are going to be affected. We're just looking to, you know, get a little taste, get a little honey. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, I do. But to keep with your metaphor, Cece, there's a lot of fish in the ocean.
Yeah, there really are.
You don't need to date your good friend's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. You know what, Mrs. Truffles? I'm turned around. You're absolutely right. You can't do it, Cece. You can't do it. But good luck to you on your search for love.
Yeah, good luck on your search for love, Cece.
So I think it's time to talk a little bit about our guest couple, Mrs. Truffles.
Oh, let's do.
Oh, yeah. We've got Bobby and Allison Bauer in the house. This is exciting. So typically, we'll write the bio for our couples, but we also give them the option of writing their own bio. And I asked Bobby and Allie what they wanted to do, and Bobby said, I got this. Let's see what he's got. Okay.
What do we got?
Allison is, as she calls herself, a shop girl at 14 Karat Jewelry Store in Beverly Hills.
Beautiful store.
It is beautiful. She has legions of fans and loyal, loving customers that she's developed over the last 15 years. Bobby hasn't been up before noon in the last 15 years. Okay, that's not true, Bobby. He works hard.
He's a hardworking guy.
Yeah, he's up by 11. Okay, Bobby and Allison quietly value the reckless, beautiful magic and love that has kept them together for 3 decades. They don't usually talk all that much about their union, and when they do, you can't shut them up. Okay. Well, that says it all.
We'll be right back with Bobby and Allison Bauer.
For over 40 years, Toysher has been a staple in the Beverly Hills community. Like so many other families in the community, our family has had a long-standing love affair with Toysher chocolates. Over the years, we've formed traditions and memories around these extraordinary Swiss chocolates and the enchanting wonderland of fantasy truffle boxes inside our store. Today, our family is proud to be carrying on the Toysher tradition in Beverly Hills. Welcome back to For Love and Chocolate. Mrs. Truffles, you look adorable right now.
You know who really looks adorable right now?
Do tell.
Allison Bauer.
She really
and she's
does.
Sitting
you
right in front of us.
You weren't kidding when you said schmaltz.
It's so schmaltzy. It is. So we're here with Bobby and Allie Bauer, who I feel like I say this all the time. I've known them for 30 years. They're very, very dear friends of mine. And when we were actually thinking about the show, they were definitely one of the couples that came to mind first, as far
Absolutely,
couples that have been together for decades and still love each other.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
This is fun and exciting.
We just look forward to spending time with you guys, and this was our big excuse.
So, guys, this is a podcast about love.
And romance.
And chocolate.
Enduring love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we want to start by talking about...
How did you two first meet?
How it all started.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell the story. And I have to tell you, as I was living the story, I was thinking, wow, if this becomes a thing, I will tell this story so many times.
Oh.
And I have. I literally had that thought.
Oh, when it was happening.
When it was happening.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. But I was like...
There was just something telling you down inside that this was it.
It was my 25th birthday, and I'm living in an apartment with a friend, and I'm coming home really
here in L.A.
Year, and I'm working late. And when I get home, my roommate Jillian says to me, I just met the greatest guy named Bobby, and I'm telling you, it's your husband.
Mm.
And she went on and on about this guy, Bobby. It didn't matter because she saw him. That Bobby was going to be my husband, but it didn't matter because she saw him first. And she went on and on to the point I was like, I never need to hear about this guy, Bobby, again, because the perfect man that I can't have because you saw him first. And that was the end of that night. 2 days later, I go on a date with this guy that I've been flirting with for a while at work, and the China Club is opening in like a New York club, and I'm all excited to go. The China Club opening.
China Club in Hollywood,
okay.
On Argyle.
Yeah. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we get to the China Club opening, and we walk through the doors.
You and this other guy.
Yeah, and
okay.
He says to me. Oh, no. And I said, what's the matter? He said, my girlfriend's here. And I was like, okay, bye. So
She went on a date to the China Club opening with this guy. They walk in, and his girlfriend is there.
So our date's over. But what I'm kind of proud about is that I was like, well, it's the Toronto Club opening. I'm not leaving. You go to your girlfriend. And I literally go to the bar and do shots. I'm like, I'll figure out the Toronto Club opening. Where am I going?
That's fine.
And I run into this friend of mine from college, Nick. And Nick and I are doing shots. We're having the best time. When Nick introduces me to this guy named Steven. And Steven and I hit it off like a house fire. Like, we are having the best time finishing each other's sentences. It's amazing. To the point where I go
home. It almost sounds too good to be true.
I invite Steven to my birthday party on Friday night, which I was only allowed to have 25 people. I invited my 26th person. I would figure that out later, too. And I go home that night. I tell Jillian, I'm like, I met the greatest guy. I met this guy named Steven. I'm out of my mind. Like, it's really deep. And you're going to meet him in 2 days. Steven walks into my birthday party, and Jillian goes, Bobby, what are you doing here? And I said, that's not Bobby. That's Steven. She's like, no, that's Bobby. It was the same person. My friend Nick was drunk and introduced me to Bobby as his brother's name.
Oh.
And now I'm at a party with the same person that she had told me about 2 days later. And I said, but Jillian, I can't have him. He's yours. And she's like, we could go to Vegas tonight and you guys can get married. I am so sure about this. We could go to Vegas tonight. And it's really funny because there's all these pictures of me at my party, and it's like either I'm like walking behind Bobby or he's walking behind me. But it was like this crazy thing. And I know if I'd come home that night and said I met this guy named Bobby, she'd be like, it's the same person. It has to be the same person. But because I said Steven, we went on our first date to...
I'm going to give you the Rashomon.
Okay.
It's not Rashomon, but I'm going to give you the my version. On Hamel at this apartment was one of my best friends. We were actors together. We were musicians. We were in a band together. His name was Kenny. Him and his wife and their baby daughter lived downstairs in this apartment on Hamel. And I went to visit them. as I did all the time. I was single.
Which was also kind of weird because I was there all the time too, but we must have always crossed paths because he must have been there during the day, but every time I would go home from work, I would stop by these people's house to say hi to them.
I would have noticed. There was never anybody there.
It's weird that we actually had been like walking in the same footsteps for months, year, without seeing each other because we just kept... He said he was there all the time, but I was there all the time. We were just never at the same time.
That's crazy.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
Until it took to get to somewhere else entirely to meet.
The universe had a different plan for you.
I think so. So I am visiting Kenny and Melissa and their baby, and this girl, Jillian, comes home
My
and
roommate.
Pops in, who lives upstairs.
As we always did.
Allison's roommate. And she's like, hey, and we just start talking. She says to me, you got to meet my roommate, Al, because she's fantastic. We start talking. She's pitching me on her roommate, Allison. Al. I'm like, well, that's great. But I leave. I was invited to the opening of the China Club on Argyle. And I go the same night. And I go with a friend of mine. And I take a lap. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm going there. On my way out, my friend Nick stops me because he sees me. He's like, what are you doing? And he's drunk. And he's like, what are you doing? And we start talking. Come have a shot. I'm at the bar. And he goes, I want to introduce you to somebody. And introduces me to Allison.
So, because he had heard Al. He hadn't even heard Allison.
Right.
So, like, I don't put that might have, like,
right.
you know, like,
there's no connection.
These little things that didn't happen.
And we start talking, and we kind of step off away from the bar to where me and Allison are talking, and it is on. Allie and I just started. It was tennis. Like, it was very, great. She was super, super fast.
We were
and
just
gorgeous
good.
And funny. I was definitely snake bit in that moment.
There was just a lightning bolt moment for both of you.
Well, the lightning bolt moment for me,
I
tell this and you mock me for this, but this is absolutely true, was this is back in the 90s when you could smoke in clubs.
And you smoked socially. It wasn't a commitment.
Yeah. And Allison was smoking, and we were talking.
Because I was
she
drinking.
She was sexy, and she was fantastic, and we were on. It was like nothing sat on her side. Like, she hit it back over. It was just great. And then in what I was feeling very clearly was this thing that was happening, and I could just devour you.
Ooh.
I say, in my young, dumb cockiness, God, it's such a drag. And she goes, what is? And I go, we're not going to date. And she goes, really? Why is that? And I said, because you smoke and I don't date smokers. And she goes, takes a big drag.
Blows
and
it in your
exhales
face.
A plume of smoke in my face. I was enveloped.
I don't think I did it consciously. Yeah.
And went, bummer. And in that moment, in just the fog of smoke and looking at her beautiful face and her eyes and her going, bummer. Like, oh, I'll marry you right now. I love you. I don't care. Smoking or not, I don't care. I love you. And it was that moment that you're talking about, Tara, where it was just
that's
like,
fantastic.
And I left. I fumbled around and I was like, well, I'm going to leave.
But
and
I told you my birthday. You knew
you told
coming,
me about
right?
your birthday, but I didn't ask for your number.
Right.
And you were like,
just come to this party.
Just come to my party. Here's my number. Call me if you want to come. I left with her number.
Okay.
That
but
she
you
gave
didn't
me.
Call me. You called Nick because Nick told me that you were coming.
I called Nick and I was like, what's her story?
But I thought it was
and he was like,
right.
She's fantastic and she'll kill you. And no. I was like, okay, I'm in. So I did something that I had never up to that point done. When I used to roll with the boys, like I was never go alone, ever. I just didn't. Not for no reason other than at that time, we would roll together.
Yeah,
two,
course,
three, four, five boys, we'd just roll.
Posse.
Posse.
Yeah.
I go to this party. I walk in. This house was
crazy.
And walk in. There's a bevy of people. And Allison sees me, comes over to me, and is so happy to see me, and takes my hand, and we hold hands for the rest of the night.
Yeah, like, it wasn't. Not
she was just like I just wanted to be with this girl, this human, this person. I just wanted to be with her.
I got home from my party, and there was a message on my voice, my voice message.
But in the day, 90s, you call and you have the voice machine, right?
And it just said, I'm smitten, was the only thing it said.
What?
So
that's what you
sweet.
Called?
I called her that night and said, I'm smitten.
And then you said, oh, Steve. Bobby. But wait, at what point, because when he showed up, you thought he was Steve.
Yes, I did. But so first of all, I was also dating someone. I was actually dating Bruce Willis's little brother, David Willis, at the time, who was like messing with my head.
This is where the podcast turns.
So it wasn't serious. It wasn't serious because he was like messing with my head. He was come to my party for 2 minutes and he was leaving. And I was like, David, can't do this with you anymore. If you leave this party, I'm done.
We're done.
Like, I'm not, I can't but get mess, can't like mess around
In terms of sliding doors,
yeah.
this happened before I arrived. So right. It was like the heavens opened.
Right. Jillian and I were at the door because I was saying to her, I'm telling David, I'm like, David, game with you anymore. He walked out and literally Bobby walked in. So I was kind of standing there with Jillian.
Wow, just crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
And then when Jillian was like, Bobby's here. I was like, no, that's Steven. Because she was like, why are you here?
Yes, that's right. I do remember this.
And it was all happened at the door.
And Bobby's like, I'll be whoever you want me to be.
I mean, it was wild.
Just let me come in.
Call me Steve.
That night, because we were walking around, Jillian was like, and Bruce Cohen, Academy Award winning producer, was there. This was her group. Marissa Tomei. Like, all these people, this was their group. I walked into this house. I didn't know anybody. Because we glommed onto each other so innocently, sincerely.
He became part of our tribe real fast.
Well, but that night, Jillian was saying, you guys should go to Vegas.
And Bruce was like, I'll drive.
And Bruce was like, I'll drive.
Right.
You should go to Vegas tonight.
Right now,
there was just something. I don't even know that we were in touch. I mean, we weren't.
Everyone was really into it. Like, it was like exciting. So then we went on our first date on Sunday.
Wait, can I back up just 1 second? Honestly, after the party, Bobby, you called and left a message, I'm smitten. And nothing else.
Nothing else.
That's the coolest thing. That's pretty cool.
And I didn't
have known you for a long time. You're not a cool guy. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. That's so beautiful.
We had a plan for Sunday night. He shows up. We have this amazing dinner, amazing night, and he's wearing a bandana.
Because I'm funny that way.
His hair was kind of long. He's wearing a bandana with skulls on it, like tied in the back of his head. Super cool in California.
Yes.
And all white with like beads. I was like, yeah, it's like dating a beach boy.
Wait, what year is this? This is 89?
It was 89. Right.
Okay.
It's cool.
Okay.
Anyway.
We went to
the fish company, something like that. It was
in Santa Monica.
Like where they would write the specials in chalk. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah.
First we went, he met me on the beach. Like we took a walk on the beach first. Then we went, and then as we were getting into his car, and this was a little bit awkward. Before we got in the car, he asked me if he could kiss me.
You were the first girl that I asked if I could kiss. Normally, just club him, drag him into the cave.
Hey, I sell engagement rings.
There's something to be said for that.
What I love so much is he didn't call me. He would knock on my door. He would come stop by. And it was really amazing. He'd be like, what are you doing? You available? You want to go get dinner with me? What are you doing? You available? Oh, I just want to say hi for a minute. Or I'm going to see Kenny. Wow. Like, it was just so cool. Like, very old school. Very romantic.
Well,
it was old school.
It was a million years ago. But you know what the thing is?
It was like, who's home? Who answers the phone? Nobody.
But it just, without design and without really even knowing what I was doing, and I would do know what I knew, was this was different.
This was real. Me too.
This was different.
Yeah. Bobby told me he loved me. September 18th, 17th, so like really, like
within
early
a month.
September. It was not shocking or surprising.
By the fourth day on my own, I called the other girls that I was seeing to say, I'm seeing somebody. It was the first kind of real mature thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been that mature since.
It was not Ali saying, you need to do this.
No, it was on my own. I was like,
before I met him, I was like kind of fooling around with Woody Harrelson. And Woody kind of dumped me for Ali Sheedy.
Yes.
So I run into Woody at like some billiard club and he remembers that he likes me again. So he calls me that night and I have to tell him that I'm sorry I can't see him again because I'm actually dating someone that I really like and I don't want to date anybody else.
So the girls that I called were all a lot hotter than Woody, but not nearly as famous.
But I wasn't dating Woody. Like, I didn't have to do that call. It was just this weird like outlier moment. There was no one I wanted to be with. No one we said to our friends, we're like, we'll see you in a year because we just could not.
We developed this weird twin speak. For me, I knew immediately, intrinsically, I just want to spend time with this person.
Right.
Now that I've met this person, I'm already late in the day.
Right.
Like it's already been too long away from you.
He said that in his wedding vows to me. It was so beautiful. He's like, now that I finally found you, I don't want to spend a minute without you. Like it was something. It was so poetic and so beautiful. But that was where we were right away. And our friends were all so into it.
You're having this amazing time together. When did you ask her to marry you? How did that go?
Together, 6 months.
It's February. Right, because it's February 4th. My mother's birthday is the 6th. And we're going, and we go home to New York to be with her. Yeah, go home. And we're staying at my friend Marissa's. Anyway, so
we go back
to New York.
Her friend Marissa.
We're staying at her place. She stays with a friend.
before we get there, in my world, I'm living on Sycamore in my apartment.
It's almost Valentine's Day.
It's almost Valentine's. And I was like, what do I give this girl? And I just had no idea about anything. I really didn't. I was like, I'm going to make her a ring for Valentine's Day.
So sweet.
So I go to the neighborhood jeweler. I go and I was like, I want to make a ring. And she was like, what do you want to make? And I said, a hand holding a heart. And she was like, oh, that's so beautiful. Here, let me give you some jeweler's wax.
Yeah.
And you design it however you want to do. Because I said, I want to kind of do it.
Yeah.
So I sculpt out of jeweler wax this hand holding a heart or a hand. And she was going to then make the heart and put the heart in there. I didn't have a lot of money. And I have this ring made. And it comes out looking like a chimpanzee's hand.
A baboon's hand.
A bamboo.
Squeezing a heart to death.
And there's a garnet heart.
It's...
Which might have been coal. But it was like
no,
a garnet.
It's garnet.
I know, but it might as well have been. Like, I just, honestly... But in my mind, there was no, I'm going to marry this. There was not that.
It was a Valentine's present.
It was a Valentine's Day present.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the ring and I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean.
I made it.
You know, I made it. I wasn't like, oh, this is great. I was like, yeah, there's some problems here, but, you know, it's Valentine's Day.
Right.
So now we go to New York and I have the ring with me. We are in bed together.
It's the morning. We just woke up.
It's the morning. Mm-hmm. We're naked. We're in bed.
Right.
Which is has nothing to do with the story.
I didn't know when I was going to give it to her, but all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm going to give her the ring now. And I go get out of bed and I scramble and find the ring and I come back to bed and I've got it in my hand. And I, again, no foresight, no plan here. I break out the monkey ring and I find myself saying, do you want to get married?
Yeah.
And she says, are you asking? Again, I'm prone naked next to her in bed with a monkey ring. And
which
she
I
said,
still have,
are you,
by the way.
Are you asking me to marry you? And I went,
yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I think, yeah, I am.
Crazy. So we're now
so we're
delayed.
JFK, we're in the gate.
It's
the plane,
delayed.
Our plane's delayed.
So we
we're newly engaged.
So we're calling
everybody
we know. We
are on the
know.
Phone. So this is also back
on
in the day
phone.
Where, you know, you have pay phones.
Yeah.
We're calling her family and we're
and
calling friends. We're
sisters.
Calling.
Wait, so we sit down. We go back.
We get it,
like,
finally get on the plane. But
no,
before
no, wait,
we get on the
wait.
Plane, yeah.
We sit down and we're like deciding, like, because we've got hours to go, when we should get married. And we're like, okay, because I love a plan. Like, so we're sitting down and we're like, what months do you like? And so we both pick the months that we like to get married. We get back to his apartment.
Back in LA.
And there's a fax that had come in from my mother with her handwritten guest list.
Oh.
And I think it was 150 people of her friends alone.
It was five
Bobby,
that she put
names.
Together while you were on the flight.
Right.
Yes.
And Bobby was like flipped out. Like, this is not what he signed up for. He didn't have any family, whatever. And he says to me, like, okay, if your mother does a party for her people in New York and your father does a party for his people in New York and then we in LA
we have the
like
wedding
under
we
100
want.
People.
That wasn't even
the wedding we want.
We have the wedding we want.
So I said, I think I could probably pull it off in 3 months. And Bobby said, okay, what's 3 months from this Saturday? And it was April 28th. And we'll celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary this April 28th.
And we got married
and
in my adopted
his, like,
uncle's backyard in the Palisades.
81 people. We, you know, in the Jewish wedding, there's 7 blessings, which I love. So what we did was we handed blessings out to friends. At one point, the blessing of marriage was which at the very end or whatever union. A really good friend, Rob, literally
Robin Sky,
stood up at
Broadway
her seat and sang
singer.
Ave Maria.
What?
People were weeping. Like,
no,
everybody was like,
I'm
going
to weep now.
Wait
just hearing about it.
We just sang Ave
she
Maria.
She just stood
and
up
we didn't,
acapella.
We gave those 7 blessings to 7 of our friends.
And put your spit on it.
And said, whatever you want to do, however you want to represent this blessing, do. So one
beautiful.
Of them
wrote a song.
Another one wrote a poem.
Well, someone did a poem from like a Native American prayer.
And Robin sang the song.
After the wedding, when everybody was like hugging everybody, not one dry eye, tears, mascara.
Oh,
it was incredible.
That day, that morning, I went to the flower market at 5
yes,
or 6 in the
yes,
morning.
Yes.
And I made her bouquet. I bought flowers and I made her bouquet and I made Marissa's bouquet, I think.
And my sister's.
I made the huppah.
Yes,
I think I made
cool.
the huppah, right? And
it was a tablecloth from Helga.
Right. And I got roses. I had it in my idea that what I would do is I would put single stem roses on all the chairs.
No, Bethany handed them out to everybody. She walked
with
the basket,
right.
My sister.
That's right. Okay, great.
It was like 14.
And what I said was, you've been handed a rose. If you choose to keep the rose, I ask you that on the birth of our first child, you return the rose.
We got so many roses.
And we got...
Oh, so God.
And we got roses.
We got, when Harris was born, we got a fair... Not so many roses.
We got a lot more than I ever thought. And we put we had this cool glass thing that had our invitation on it, and we took the petals and put them in there. And
I have two of the roses framed.
Yeah.
That somebody gave us that
cool.
back. It was
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then we want to hear more about, so where did you had this beautiful wedding.
It was cool. It was a cool wedding.
It was very much us.
Magical.
So then we're going to go to New Orleans for our honeymoon. We had no money, you know. So
you're going to ask about honeymoon?
Yeah.
And so my mother, so we're going to go to New Orleans. And my mother had got me like a negligee, like peignoir set, you know. And I get home to our apartment. And by the grace of God, I swear, I put our alarm on because I don't even know why I did it.
We were leaving, we have the wedding dinner afterwards,
so,
get back to the apartment on Sycamore.
And we're sitting at the foot of the bed and Bobby like pop champagne and we're sitting at Saxonite
and it's champagne. On at this point. I'm like, this is, and she looks so fine and it's all great.
4 hours later,
we wake up,
I'm still holding my champagne in my sexy nightie.
She's, we're like this with the glass.
On the floor.
Come on.
No sex.
I literally held my champagne glass.
So you had not consummated the marriage at that point.
No.
So then we get to New Orleans and we get to this old cool hotel called the Cornhusker.
French Quarter.
It's like the oldest hotel.
French Quarter, yeah.
And we get there and we get to our room.
To your point, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to suffer through the plane. Ride,
get to our hotel.
Get to New Orleans and consummate the marriage.
We get to the hotel room and Bobby opens the door, which bangs on the bed and we have to like shimmy into the like sideways and then we close the thing. There's like a Jolly Rancher on each of our pillowcases and that was okay. This was not a big deal.
We close the door and we hear the phone ringing and it's like, the receptionist.
Cornhusker Inn, how can I help you?
Like right there.
If we
like
can hear
the room,
him that clearly, he can hear us too.
Yeah,
literally.
So he
went and got us a different hotel room.
Saint Antoinette,
something like that.
And then, that was our honeymoon in New Orleans.
We
were there for 7 days and we laughed.
Hopper Dome, I mean,
we were dead. It was just the best. It was just really funny.
We still laugh about it. Like, we look at it, it was really like this crazy. We fell asleep one night and there was a man outside our window playing guitar, singing Blackbird.
Mm.
His voice was so sweet. I paid a lot for that guy.
That cost me a lot.
What do you guys, I know you talked about how you like to just get out to go to dinner sometimes, but what do you do to keep it really romantic? Like, what's your little special ingredient that just keeps you two so in love and
cozy?
Yeah.
We like each other. It's not about, I'm not super adventuresome.
That's not true.
I mean, I like to have a good time, but I'm like, I work a lot.
We got tattoos last week. That's pretty adventurous.
Yeah.
After 33 years, there is the comfort of we know our rhythms, but we also do go out and we're like, where do you want to go? Like, I think we don't like planning, and that probably is the thing that kind of keeps...
Right. Spontaneity.
Keeps it fresh.
I think so, yeah. It does keep it spontaneous,
share our lives with one another to a point, like, we're not the couple that sits at a restaurant and doesn't speak.
Right.
Ever. We're not those people. I mean,
we speak mostly to other people, but
it's just, we're not that couple where, like, my day, I always want to, you know, we talk about my day. I can't, there's so many moments I'm like, I hear Bobby's voice in my head helping me figure out what to do next. That is also me going
she's
home and talking about it.
No,
it's true. Hearing about his day.
And she's like,
we make each other laugh a lot. I don't know.
Beautiful. Well, yeah. we have a special gift for you guys.
What?
It's a weekend of romance in a big red Twisher bag.
This is part of the show, and what it is,
we open this together and we talk about everything that's in there.
Oh my God! Okay, I'm just gonna pull things, right?
Just pull things and let's go.
Okay, there's a bottle of champagne for you listeners out there.
I love this champagne.
Okay, well, this
so
is Schramsberg, and
we love it.
We are gifting Schramsberg this March because March is our anniversary month, And the first moment that I met Tommy, that is what I was drinking.
At the Honor Bar.
I do remember you telling me that you met this woman, and it was electrifying. I do remember that very clearly. Okay, so Schaumburg.
Schaumburg.
May I also say, it's chilled. Nice.
It might just be cold.
Okay, there's a box here of
champagne.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
those are our champagne now. Truffles.
And
that's
I love
what
champagne truffles.
For.
I love truffles.
That's right. Here I'm showing the mic.
Oh, good.
There's that. And then
what else we got, Bobby?
There's this is our
crackling fire candle, which is perfect for the cold weather we're in.
Citrus green tea.
And it has a wooden wick, and it sounds like a crackling fire.
I'm going to light this tonight.
Do it. Yeah. No, it's very romantic.
And we're going to make a baby.
Okay. Nice.
And
what else we got, Bobby?
What else we got? What is this?
This is the Love and Chocolate body butter that I make.
You make body butter?
I do. I've been making it for years, and it's all the best stuff for your skin, Ellie. It's just everything you could imagine. And
I do. I put moisturizer every day.
Listeners, if you could see this, looks like it should be illegal, but it's fantastic.
That will be available for sale soon on our website. I've decided to finally share it with the world, but
thank you.
Fantastic. Tommy starts out our mornings a lot of time, give me a back rub with it. It's just, it's amazing.
Love it.
Tommy.
Oh, well.
Tommy. Okay, here's some.
And this is, a lot of people don't realize that Toyshare has jams that we make in the factory. So this is all made with Swiss and European fruit.
Yeah. This is
Toyshare jam.
Toyshare jam? Okay.
Toyshare jam.
I've been to Toyshare many, many times.
Didn't know, did you?
It's the jam.
Did not know.
Yeah.
And this is made back in
Zurich.
Zurich.
Yeah.
And so this is European berries?
Oh, yeah.
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 Swiss and European berries. So it's very naturally flavorful.
I'm a jam over jelly person.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
He also makes his own bread, so it's lovely because we love like nice jam. Yeah.
And then inside, there's something else that goes with that. So
Okay.
Take the next one out, but wait, there's more.
It keeps going.
So this is pâte à fruits. And so we have many. You won't believe all the flavors of jams we actually have. What do we have? Like about 25 flavors?
Hang on, I have some scratchers here.
Are these and each one of those. So those are little jellies made with just our jam and a little pectin to give it form. Yeah. And each one is a different one of our jams.
Yeah. Tommy, can I hear? What is this?
These are pâte à fruits from Toyshare.
Yes, very much yes.
Thank you.
Nice
Okay, and then what are these?
Oh, those are just little for love and chocolate. Little cards and
thank you guys. This is this is so sweet and thoughtful and really, really, really exciting.
So
we're gonna bust.
Before we let you guys go, can I just ask you if you have some really good advice for young people who are seeking love or people who have found love and are newly married? What is your best piece of advice?
I think you need to be realistic with marriage, understanding that, you know, there are times in your marriage where you're like sitting cozy and comfy and in the roller coaster, and there are times where you're like hanging on for dear life. And for me, I believe that if you just hang on, you'll get back to the cozy and comfy. I don't like to fight, but you shouldn't be afraid of them. You're better off getting through them than pretending that they don't exist. Really choose the right partner. Like, no, be sure. If you're not sure, get out. I don't care if you're walking down the aisle, walk back. It's a lot of people that I know that are divorced knew walking down and they were afraid to not cut bait. But understand, like our daughter says, that we're the most happily married couple that could get divorced at any moment. And I believe that is the definition of marriage, because it gets real hard sometimes. And you're like, I just don't want to even talk to you anymore. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be married to you. Okay. Baby, I love you. And the game's about to start. So you want to come watch with me? It's that, you know, just choose wisely.
Nice.
Trust.
That's nice. That's good advice.
And you?
Bobby.
You have anything to offer, Mr. Bauer?
I think for me, I guess the reason that I'm insecure about feeling like I have any advice to offer is that I believe that there's magic in the leap. And I believe when you feel something, honor that thing you're feeling and don't be afraid to take the leap. And then once you're in the relationship, I 100% agree that you have to, and I've learned this from you, or have certainly learned it from you and gotten comfortable with it. You have to live out loud. You have to, if you are angry, be angry and don't hide that and confront it and share it. And sometimes that there's always silver lining, and what my truth is in that moment may not be shared by you, but I think to put it out there and look at it together is the only way that you can get to the next day. get through the night.
Because sometimes sleep and the next day is perspective. Perspective is your friend.
Well, I feel like you two do communicate in real time, whatever your emotions are, what you're feeling right now.
So
a lot of people are passive aggressive, or they just sit on it, or they hold it inside.
I don't think you can do that.
It doesn't work.
If there's anything that I feel confident about offering in terms of advice, it's that. It is being honest and being raw and being like, look, I don't have the answers, or I do think I have the answers, or maybe I have this wrong, or maybe I have this right, or, you know, it's all this. You got to jump in the water together and splash around.
It's the long haul. That's the thing, too.
Well, I know that Tommy and I have said in the past that it's more fun to be around you two when you're fighting than it is to be around most people when they're getting along.
I can't stand it.
So entertaining.
We're children. We are so immature to a certain degree where we fight listening to that, to your voice, that instinct, which I believe never yells, it only whispers, and you have to lean in to really hear that. But I always believe that that voice that inner voice that we all have doesn't lead you astray. You know, that doesn't necessarily come in a moment, but you know, it causes you to pause, and in the pause is also the moment of reflection, whatever.
But you know, 33 years later, and you guys are still so good together.
We're good.
So happy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Awesome.
But we're just, we're so happy that you shared your story.
Thank you for a lot
of these stories that I didn't know, and I was just so glad to relive them with you. You know,
thank
inspiring.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for doing this. This is super fun.
Thank you guys.
And
we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more For Love and Chocolate. This podcast is being brought to you by Beverly Hills Toyshire, Chocolates of Switzerland. Beverly Hills Toyshire, at 371 North Camden Drive in Beverly Hills, has been serving up truffles, pralines, dipped fruits, marzipans, and our world-famous chocolate bars for over 40 years. So, next time you're in Beverly Hills, why don't you come by and visit or shop online at beverlyhillstoyshire.com. Oh my God, I love Steve and Allie. Bobby and Allie, sorry.
They're the best.
They're really fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
And such sweet stories.
It was a great show.
It really was. Anyway, thanks again for joining us. And guess what? We'll do it again next week. Until then, say goodbye, Mrs. Truffles.
Goodbye, Mrs. Truffles.
This show is brought to you by Beverly Hills Toyshire Chocolates of Switzerland. Home of the world's first and finest champagne truffles. Join us next week for more adventures in everlasting love.